For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
The Lord is good. He has good things in store for his people. There's no doubt about that. Let's open up in prayer tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you. We thank you for your precious word. We thank you for the precious Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we ask that tonight it is impressed upon our hearts the importance of us doing our part in what God wants for his people to do, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. We're looking tonight at every one of us should edify the church. Every one of us should edify the church. I want us to look, first of all, at Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. And we're going to read a couple of verses from here. We'll start from verse 16. We'll go to verse 18. Acts chapter 2, verse 16 to 18. Now, Peter here preached a sermon, and in that he pointed to a prophecy in Joel. And we're not going to turn to that prophecy in Joel, but there are things that come out of that prophecy, and this is what we see here in Acts chapter 2, verses 16 to 18. It says, "But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it came to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, and on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy." Now, we should settle it in our hearts and absolutely have no qualms about it, that the last days church will be a spirit type of church. And in particular, we know about the modern Pentecostal revival, that we see great start of it in the 1900s. But what it was the Lord was restoring what had been lost at the beginning of the church. And there's been lots of restoration throughout church history to bring about the church that God wants to do a great reaping work in these last days. So there is no way, there's no possibility that the church of the last days, and I'm talking about the church that God wants, there's no possibility that it's not a Pentecostal type of church. And so what we see here is, it says in verse 17, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit." And you can see "out of my spirit." If you go back to the book of Joel, it talks about, "I will pour out my spirit," little s. So the little s spirit is talking about the workings of the Holy Ghost. And here it's talking about "out of my spirit." So there is a pouring out that is coming, and it is happening, and it's coming upon all flesh, and there is a receiving to be had. There is a receiving to be had because God wants to use his people. And it's very interesting, it says, "Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy." Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Not that they be all prophets. A prophet is a particular office in the church of God, but that they shall prophesy. Prophesy is giving divine utterance in a language that they know. So if we were to prophesy, it would be in English. And it says, "And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, and on my servants and my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. So we see the word prophesy has been repeated in both of these verses. And it's important for us to understand that if we are to be people of the Spirit, then we must be open to the Spirit. If we are to be Pentecostal, we must be open to not only Pentecostal doctrine, but actually doing what the Lord wants us to do. You see, the church must be a church that is zealous for the Lord Jesus Christ. We see that in Revelation, the book of Revelation, where it talks about be zealous, repent and be zealous, talking to the Laodicean period of the church history, which is the time of history that we are. God is after a zealous people, that is, people who want to do his will out of the heart and are dedicated for that. So we see here that the type of church that God is wanting is not a church that is filled with people that are resistant to the Spirit of God. If people are resistant to the Spirit of God, then they're not doing what God is wanting, and because of that, there's not going to be what God wants for the church to do. However, we know that God has called us into the body to do great things for him. And the body of Christ is not made up of just one or two select people, such as the pastor or the elder that gets up and preaches or teaches. It's not just that. It's made up of the individual members. The body of Christ is made up of the individual members. Not so that they do nothing, but so that there is a progression of them doing something for the Lord. Now, when you're first born again, you're just a babe in Christ, or a small baby that, you know, like in the natural, you don't know a huge amount. But as you grow, and you should grow in Christ, you should grow in the knowledge of his will and in the knowledge of what he wants you to do in the body of Christ. Let's have a look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll quickly go over to here because this points out that we are part of the body of Christ. And as the body of Christ, then there are things for us to do. There are things for us to do. There are things that we need to do because we've been made a particular way. None of us are exactly the same as each other. We all have varying degrees of graces and abilities that the Lord has given to us. But the one thing that we must do is to commit that to the Lord. The Bible says to commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. So here we see, let's have a look. We'll start with verse 14. Well, actually, we'll start from verse 13 of 1 Corinthians 12. It says, for by one Spirit, remember we talked about the Spirit just before, by one Spirit, he is at work, are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. So anyone that's been born again has access to the Spirit of God. Now, how much we yield to the Spirit of God is dependent on us. It's dependent on what we say in our hearts. Well, I'm not going to do this, or I'm resistant to do this. But the Lord is calling, and I believe he's calling us more and more to be people that are Spirit-led, Spirit-type people indeed. So we've been all made, all of us, made to drink into one Spirit. Verse 14, for the body is not one member, but many. And it sounds obvious, but it's something to consider, that it's not just one person doing all the work, or one person, or a few people are doing things for the body of Christ. We're all members that have been placed together into the body to do what God wants us to do. Now, the pouring out of the Spirit of God is a... It's to give us power to witness, but it's also so that we can be people that are, in these last days, people that are going to be working and doing what God wants, edifying the body of Christ, and making sure that our part in the body of Christ is exactly what the Lord wants us to be and to do. So verse 14 says, "For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, 'Because I am not the hand, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, 'Because I am not the eye, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members..." Are you a member of the body of Christ? Yes, each one of us. Each one of us. "But now hath God set..." It's a setting by God. "Set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him." So you might have a grace that God has given to you to do a particular thing in the body of Christ. You do that with all your heart, all your soul, and all your might. Okay? Now there are some things that... things that we commonly do together. For example, praying. Commonly do together. There are things that we, as individual parts or members of the body, we do, and it could be like what I'm doing here, preaching the Word of God, being a pastor. It could be helping in the administration. It could be doing all types of other things. But it's not just a natural thing that we're doing. It's a spiritual thing. So there are going to be some things that are common that we all should be doing. And if we're not doing that, then we're not contributing in the body. And you'll notice that the eye is a part of the body. The ear is a part of the body. The leg is a part of the body. They're all connected together. So there has to be some commonality to it. So you can see that in this case... he's saying, don't desire to do things that God hasn't put into you to do. There are some things you should be desiring to do because they're common to the whole of the body. And I mentioned about prayer. Okay, I'm going to also talk about prophesying as well. There's some things that all of us should be doing. But there's other things that are particular to us that we should be doing as the Lord has set us in the body. If you go down a little bit further, we'll just go down to verse 27. It says, "Now ye are..." Ye means us collectively. "Ye are the body of Christ and members in particular." Can you see that? Ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. Now that tells us every member has a function. See, the eye has a function, the ear has a function, even the little finger has a function. Every member has a function. And of course, it's comparing the body of Christ, the church, to the human body. It's saying, look, there's all these different parts in the human body, and they've got functions. So the human body works well. And it's the same in the body of Christ. God is wanting a functioning body. And he's wanting it where the Spirit of God is leading the people. The Spirit of God is bringing the people together. The Spirit of God is helping us to come to our fullest extent that we can be as we yield to the Lord, as we yield our members to the Lord. Let's have a look at Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. We'll just read through without going into too much explanation in Ephesians 4, verses 7 to 16. Now we know this quite well, but it uses a word here which is repeated, and that's the word edify. And obviously the word edify means to build up, to strengthen. And we know that Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And you've got to ask yourself, well, how is Jesus doing that? Now, he is the head of the body, and he is using the members in the body in that building. In fact, Paul the Apostle called himself a wise master builder, didn't he? So we see that God is wanting to use his people in the building of the church. He's wanting to use his people so that he has, before he returns, a church that is word-washed and without blemish. It might seem impossible now, but I believe, and the scripture bears this out, that as we bow the knee individually and we say, Lord, use me for your glory, God will reveal to us where our place is. He will reveal to us what we commonly should be doing, because we're all part of the body, and also what we should be individually doing as part of the body to edify the church. So let's have a look at Ephesians 4. We'll start from verse 7, we'll go to verse 16 in Ephesians 4. Verse 7 says, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. So you've been, just say anyone is left out of that? No, every one of us is given grace. It's enabling, God's enabling in us according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Verse 8, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. So obviously talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And he gave gifts unto men. It says it very clearly here. Now, that he ascended, what is it? But that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, and that he might fill all things. So we know that he descended into hell, suffered, rose from the dead, and then ascended into heaven. Praise the Lord. Here's some of the gifts he gave, and these are what you could call particular gifts, office type gifts he gave to the church. But just keep in mind that there are the general things that we should be doing to edify or build up the church, and there's also what are our specific callings, and obviously not everyone is called to be an apostle or a pastor and so on. But if you are called for that, then what will happen? As you seek the Lord will bring it out. The Lord will develop it and bring it out. So it says in verse 11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Why did he give those? Well, verse 12 says, for the perfecting of the saints. Perfecting of the saints. That's interesting, isn't it? God doesn't want us to stay in one place. He wants to develop us. He wants to perfect us for the work of the ministry. So there is a ministering component to it. For the edifying of the body of Christ. So the body of Christ needs to be edified. It needs to be built up. It needs to be strengthened. What happens if the ministers said, well, you know, there's only a few coming along. I'm not going to put much effort into it. Do you think that's going to be very edifying to the body of Christ? Well, obviously not. The Bible tells us whatever you put your hand to, do it with all your might. Okay? You're not to be walking by sight. You're to be walking according to the will of God. Walk by faith. And if God has called you to do something, do it with all your might. You say, Lord, you have called me to do something. I'm going to do it with all my mind. I'm not going to be half-hearted. In fact, God hates half-heartedness. He wants us to be complete, wholehearted about things. So if it's as simple as getting up and leading choruses, put your whole thing into it. If it's as simple as being a doorkeeper, put your whole thing into it. If it's as simple as getting up and preaching a sermon, put everything you have into it. If it's prophesying, do it as unto the Lord. But keep in mind, you're not doing it for yourself. You're doing it because you want to see the edification of the body of Christ. And this is certainly what it's saying in verse 12, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Notice what it says in verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. See, in God's eyes, he's looking at the church by faith too. What does he see? He sees the church like a perfect man that's going to be going and doing his will on the earth. The church is likened unto the Son of Man in the book of Revelation, for example. And the church is meant to be growing up and getting better and better. Now, we've seen a trend happen where there's been lots of fracturing all over the earth of the church doctrinally. And you might say, well, there doesn't seem to be much unity. Well, the Lord is working. There's been that fracturing, but there's also a gathering and a perfecting happening, and things that are bringing to a position where the church can do what God wants in the last days. And he does that by people who are going to bow the knee and say, I'm going to do what you have called me to do, whether it be common in the body of Christ or whether it be my specific calling in the body of Christ. We should be seeking the Lord about this. What do you want me to do, Lord? What do you want me to do? So let's continue and have a look here. Verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children. You know, why doesn't God want us to be children? What are children like? You know, children are lovely, but they need instruction. They need guidelines, okay? And they're often tossed to and fro. As it says there, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. We can't be like children where they can be easily deceived and tossed to and fro. We've got to be grown up. And the Lord is wanting us to be the body of Christ to be edified, grow up, and as it says in verse 15, but speaking the truth, what's the truth? The word of God, in love. Why in love? Faith works by love, right? May grow up into him in how many things? All things, which is the head, even Christ. From whom the whole body, it's you and me, we're part of the body, fitly joined together. It's the members, joined together. Fitly means just in the right place. Okay, fitted. Fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto, there's that word again, the edifying of itself in love. There's a fair bit in this, a lot of scripture, but verse 16 shows us that everything, this is what God wants, everything working together. And I think one of the real keys is that if you've been half-hearted about things, repent of it. Get it out of the way and say, from now on, Lord, I'm going to put my whole heart in and do what you want me to do with my whole heart. So God is after a people that with their whole heart serve him, with their whole heart saying, well, Lord, you know, I may not know everything, of course, but you're going to show me, you're going to teach me, you're going to lead me, you're going to bring me up so that if I make a mistake, you're going to show me so that I can do better next time. But at least you're giving it a try. At least you're getting out and doing it. You're stepping out of the boat by faith. And you're saying, well, I'm not going to let the fear of man stop me. I'm not going to let anything stop me from helping in the edifying of the body of Christ, of the church. If you look also at verses 29 to 32 of the same chapter there, verse 29 says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of what? Edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. That tells us that our words matter. Our words matter, and here's a way that you can edify the hearers. Okay? Here's a way that you can edify the hearers. And in particular, when you bow the knee to the Spirit of God, He can use you to speak and to edify the body in that way as well. Verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. The Holy Spirit of God wants to use you. He wants to use me. Don't grieve Him by saying, oh no, I'm not going to do that. Well, I'm not going to speak that out. Oh, the fear has stopped me from doing that. I challenge you to step out, get the fear out of the way, do what God wants. Verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamour and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So love must be preeminent in the body of Christ, as we saw before, unto the edifying of itself in love. And, you know, we've got to give people the benefit of the doubt, and as people come into this church more and more, you're going to find there will be challenges, but you've got to also work according to the Spirit of God. And the preparation is here that as you say, Lord, use me for your glory. Use me for your glory. I'll be able to minister grace to the hearers as you use me for your glory. Have a look at 1 Corinthians 14. We'll go through a few verses in 1 Corinthians 14, because 1 Corinthians 14 uses a word related to the body of Christ. It's quite interesting. And I relate it back to Acts 2 that we read before, which was that God would pour out of His Spirit upon all flesh, and my sons and my daughters shall prophesy. Why is that important? Why is it that my sons and my daughters shall prophesy? Why is that important to God? What's so important about that? What's so important about it? God thinks it's important, otherwise why would He pour out of His Spirit upon all flesh? And why would He say, my sons and my daughters shall prophesy? This is what they will do. Why does He say that if it's not important? Let me challenge you not to hold back in this area. I believe that every one of us who have been filled with the Spirit can prophesy. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 4 and 5 says, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. Now, it's not saying that everyone's going to be a prophet. A prophet, remember, is an office in the body of Christ. It's talking about he that prophesieth edifieth the church. There's a way you can edify the church. Remember I mentioned before that the members, there are some things that we can do jointly, and it's a common thing amongst us. Praying, this is one area as well we'll look at in more detail as we go along. There's others that God has given us specific graces to do. Not everyone can get up and, for example, preach. Not everyone can be a teacher as such. But every one of us can do certain things because we are, as I mentioned before, we're not in a... Look, there's some denominations that lock people into certain doctrines and they never come out of it. They never think, oh, those Pentecostal doctrines, they have some validity to it. We're not of that, okay? We are Pentecostal and we're not ashamed of that. And there are doctrines associated with that, such as the gift of the Holy Ghost and the gifts of the Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Ghost and so on. And the various things that God wants us to do to be led by the Spirit of God. So notice it says, he that prophesieth edifieth the church. Verse 5, I would that ye all, how many? All spake with tongues, but rather that ye prophesied. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive. Here we see that word again, edifying. Edifying. Think edifying. Think edification. Think not of yourself, but think edifying. Think about what God wants to do with the church. Edifying. Edifying. Edifying of the church. Look across to verse 12 of 1 Corinthians 14. So notice what it says here. Even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. Okay? Excel talks about excellence. Seek the Lord, that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. So there are some things that we can collectively do or commonly do together. That is, it's a common grace that we all have that we can do. There's other things that are specific graces. You know, just like the eye has been designed to see and the ear has been designed to hear. Well, you shouldn't be, oh, I don't want to be an ear, I want to be an eye. You shouldn't be saying, well, I don't want to be an apostle, I want to be a prophet. I mean, there are overlaps, but we've got to think, what is the specific grace that God has given to us, and what are the common things that we can all do together? But we must seek. What does God want us to do here? Seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. That tells us that we shouldn't be half-hearted. If you're seeking to excel or to be excellent to the edifying of the church, then what you put your hand to do, you do it with all your might. And it doesn't matter what others might think, you're doing it with all your heart and all your might. You're doing it out of love for God, out of zeal for God, and you're doing it with all your might. Okay? The Lord, I believe, is calling people to step out beyond some of the constraints and boundaries that people have put around themselves. Oh, I couldn't do that. Well, why not? You know, look, God has things that he wants us all to do, as I mentioned before, and there's things he wants us specifically to do. We must seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. Have a look at verses 24 to 26 here. Notice what it says here. But if, how many? All prophesy. So is it possible for all to prophesy? Certainly. But if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all. He is judged of all. Here's one function. They come in and they hear the prophesying. They become convinced. That's a good thing, isn't it? Verse 25, and thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. That's because the Spirit knows things that we don't know. can be made manifest. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. Verse 26. What is it then, brethren? When ye come together, every one of you. This is what we're talking about tonight. Every one of us should edify the church. Every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, has a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto, there's that word again, edifying. Praise the Lord. Edifying. Edifying. Let all things be done unto edifying. Let's have a look at Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2, verses 18 to 22. We're going to finish with this section of Scripture. You might say to yourself, well, I don't think I could do this. Oh, hang on. What is God saying to you? What is God saying to you? That's really what you should be saying. What is the Scripture saying? What saith the Scripture? What is God speaking to in your heart? And when I, for example, if I'm preaching this and there's almost a fear come upon you, that's not right. If it's a fear of doing that, or it's a fear of not, you've got to say, Lord, I am free in you, free indeed, and I'm going to do all that you want me to do. All that you want me to do. You know, there was a time when I thought, oh Lord, I don't think I could get up and preach a sermon. But I did get up and preach the sermon. You can see the difference. I didn't just say, well, I don't think I could do it and then not do it. But because I knew there was a call. And there's been other things as well. Ephesians 2, let's look at verse 18 to 22. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple to the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. I believe this answers some of the questions. Why isn't the church where God wants it to be at the moment? Okay, yes, you could say providentially it's going to come to that. But what is the reason why it's not there now? Because it says that the habitation, builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. There's been a great neglect of the Spirit of God. A great neglect of what he can and wants to do in the church. What we see here is words of building. Words of building here. You see, for example, in verse 20, and are built upon the foundation. See, that's a building term, isn't it? Foundation. Foundation. And it says Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. It's part of the building. Verse 21, in whom all the building. And it talks about fitly framed together. So there's a frame, see. It talks about a holy temple. That's a building. In whom, verse 22, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. I believe as we open ourselves more up to the Spirit of God, there's going to be more and more the edification of the church. More and more the edification of the church. Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. Open yourself up to him. And God will show you the way. God will show you, and this is what he's saying tonight, that he wants to edify the church. He wants the church to be edified. He wants the church to be built up, strengthened. And that starts with us here, and at Victory Faith Centre starts with us too. We're not, of course, we're not the only church. We're going along to this church, and we are people that are members of the body of Christ. We have something to do. So it's not acceptable to sit and do nothing. It is acceptable to seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church, edifying of the body of Christ. Let's open up and let's close in prayer and open our hearts to the Lord. Lord, we thank you. We thank you and praise you. We thank you for the grace that you've given to us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I ask that you move upon the hearts of everyone present and those that hear this, that, Lord, there be a work in our hearts, a work in our hearts to open ourselves more up to the Spirit of God, to see that we are not natural people, but we are supernatural people. We are people of a divine nature, the nature of the Spirit. We thank you, Lord, for that. I thank you for every person here and the gifts you've given, the abilities, the graces. I ask, Lord, that every one of us would be stirred up to give our all for you. Not to be looking by sight, but to be looking by faith and looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. In Jesus' name.